The hardest thing in the world for people is to make a decision. But if you and the other person have different goals, different values, different nature, if your lives are so radically different and they are not complementary, remember, different can be complementary. If they're opposite, if they're opposed, then all you've set up is a life in which you have to either constantly be in a battle with someone or worse, constantly be in repression, where you just accept a life that's less than you deserve. And I don't say this in a flippant manner, you know, like, oh, okay, on this tape, I should just change my relationship. No, running from a relationship, as I've said over and over again here, is not the answer. You take you with you. I can't say that enough. But also, denial is equally bad. In some cases, worse, because it destroys your spirit. You've got to tell yourself the truth. And remember, everything in life happens for a reason and a purpose. And if you're listening to this tape, it's either to take a relationship that's great to a brand new level, or it's to take a relationship that's not great and change yourself instead of your partner so you know you've done your job, make yourself better, make yourself stronger, give more, focus on their needs, see how you can enhance and create a spark that brings that relationship to the place it needs to be. Or it's time for you to change a relationship, and you got to be honest. Now, you may say to me, well, you know, end my relationship, that's a pretty big step, isn't it? A life of fulfillment doesn't come from taking small steps, and it certainly doesn't come from taking a step backwards. It doesn't come from settling. It comes from stepping up. And every time a person makes a change in their life, the change is always initiated by a decision, a real decision where you cut off any possibility except the thing you're committed to because you know in your heart of hearts it's right. It may be scary, but you know it's right. And listen, we've all had to end relationships, or we've been on the other end. We've had someone end one with us, and it's one of the most painful things in life. But the other side of a decision where you commit and you just follow through is the freedom to experience what you deserve. So, you know, many times in life, I've done it, I'm sure you've done it, we've all in relationships, our partners have probably done it with us, where we thought like, well, I'll sacrifice, you know, I'll stay here because for the kids, or I'll stay here for something else. But if you do something that kills your spirit, you're not doing anything for anyone else. So you've got to be true to yourself. You've got to be true to what's real inside. And that's where it all comes from. By the way, why don't we do this? Why don't we take the action? It's all about fear. Fear that we're going to be hurt. Fear that someone we love will not love us anymore at all. They'll take it all away and then we'll be alone. Fear that we may have failed in something. The only real failure is to continue through a process that you know is not fulfilling for you and can't be for someone else. You got to remember, no matter how happy someone seems to be, if your entire heart and soul is not singing with them, they can't be totally fulfilled. But their fear may want them to keep in. Very often, you know, when somebody wants to leave a relationship, it's rarely that both of them want to go. You know, but later on, eventually, people see the benefit for themselves as well. And if you care about somebody, you got to share with them the truth. And again, I'm not saying this is easy by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying it's a must if you're going to be happy. And I'm not saying this as a practitioner who's evaluating this. For years, I had people tell me about their relationships and whether they should end it or not. And I always, you know, I struggled with how to assist them. And the way I helped them was to get them clear about what they really needed in their life and make them really responsible for were they doing their part. And also not to make the decision too quickly, to give it a time period where you really evaluate it and where you share with the other person and you work together. But I also went through this process myself. I mean, I got married when I was 24 years old. And I'm really glad I did. It was an amazing time. It shaped me as a man because my wife had been married twice before. It was her third marriage. So as a result, she had three children, one from one father and two from another. So you can imagine the diversity. Picture this. I'm 24 years old and suddenly I have a 17-year-old son. I got an 11-year-old daughter. I got a 5-year-old son. And later on, a son on the way. And, you know, what I'm really proud of is that for 14 years, I raised these kids as my own. They are my loves of my life. If you ask me what I get the most joy of in my life or what I'm most proud of, I'd say seeing my kids and who they become as human beings, as men and women, who contribute to society and have hearts of gold and make mistakes like anybody but do such good things for people around them. I love them, I respect them, and I'm really proud that I raised them. But I got to tell you, after 14 years, I found myself in a position where our beliefs and values were very different. What I really wanted for my life and what she wanted for hers was so different. It wasn't that she was a bad person and I was a good person or vice versa. It was just a different world because I didn't have these skills when I was 24. I didn't understand these distinctions back then. And so, you know, am I going to stay in a position like that? Well, yes, I did. For about 4 years, I said, you know, I got to work totally on me. I got to turn this around. I got to find a way to fulfill. And the problem was I still personally didn't feel fulfilled. I eventually made the decision after the kids grew up and they're adults that it was time to make this decision, and I did. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most important decisions I made in my life and one of the most difficult ones. Today, I'm happily married to my soulmate, a lady who is so aligned with me that, you know, I have a person in my life who not only is beautiful in terms of their love for people, I don't have to explain why I'm doing something, why I'm stopping here, why am I not on time because I'm helping another person, but I'm with somebody who literally I can pitch and catch with. You know, so often in life, you know, you get somebody and they're a great listener. You can give to them, but you don't give very much back. To be in a place where somebody who can challenge you with love or somebody can come back at you and say, well, what about this? What about that? Is so stimulating. You have somebody you love with your heart and soul, and they love back the same way, emotionally, physically, spiritually, at the same intensity. It's such an amazing thing. So all I want to tell you is if this is a hard decision and you got fear about it, but you know it's right, you got to make it. And the other side is beautiful, unless you sit around and ask yourself a lot of questions like, what if I never find the right person again? What if I'm making a mistake? What if, you know, I'm not being fair in this situation? The way you're going to know you're fair is if you find out exactly what your musts are in a relationship. What are theirs? You have the discussions. You work at it. But if you're really different, tell the truth. Now, so often you want to blame the other person. And so often during this time when you make these decisions, you feel enormous pain. The only thing that kept me going is the day that I made the final decision, I made this list. I said, everything I really want in a relationship, what am I committed to in this lifetime to have in my life? What do I deserve and what am I willing to give? And when I went through that list, it became obvious this was not the right relationship based on nature. So I had to decide. And when I'd cry and I'd feel sad and I'd say, you know, God, I get so much juice out of my work and I have so much love for my kids, and I honestly had the fear of losing the love of my kids. You know, what if they don't love me anymore? And those fears started to grab me, and I'd sit back and I'd say, what's my outcome? What am I committed to in this life? What will I not settle for less than? Because I'm willing to pay the price, and I'm willing to do whatever it is. And during that time, I got to tell you, there were some amazingly painful times because my children are not my stepkids. I mean, they're my children. I adopt them into my life and in my heart, and they're my own in every way. I've raised them. But what was interesting is when the separation first happened, one of my boys, Josh, I felt like he was really, you know, comforting his mom and wasn't spending much time with me. And so one day I called him up and I said, Joshy, I said, you know, I'd like to go for a walk on the beach with you. So Josh came down and we took a walk on the beach and I said, hey, bud, I said, you know, I'm feeling really sad and lonely right now. And he looked at me and got a little teary-eyed. I said, you know, I want your mom totally supported, but I said, I feel like there's some separation with us. And I said, it scares me, honestly. Because I've raised you as my own since you're 5 years old. I mean, I may not be your birth father, but I'm your dad and you're my son. And he started to cry and he said, of course. And he said, I love you, Dad. And I said, well, you know, tell me something. I said, I feel like my feelings don't matter. You know, yes, I'm the one that chose to make the divorce happen, but I still have feelings. It still kills me to see anybody hurt. I mean, I'm the guy that wants to make everybody happy. And in this situation, I can't. And I said, I just feel the separation with you. And he said, I'm not trying to be separate from you, Dad. He said, I guess I'm probably overcompensating for mom because you're so strong. I said, I am strong, but I still have feelings. I said, tell me something. I said, wasn't I there for you? I mean, throughout your life, whenever there was a tough situation or anticipating a tough situation, wasn't I there with the ideas or the solutions or the love for you or the comfort or the conversation? And I said, shoot me straight if I wasn't. He said, no, Dad, you always were. And he got really emotional. I said, then how come in my tough time you're not here? It was a pretty direct conversation. And he gave me a hug, and he said, I love you, Dad. And he said, I just got to tell you, he said, I think maybe you trained us, Dad, that you were the one who always took care of us, so we never even think of taking care of you. Oh, that was a tough moment. Talk about an awakening. He said, you know, it's like you always were there. You're always there with the magic moments. You're always the one to figure the answer. I mean, you're Tony Robbins. Who can help you? And I said, I'm still your dad. I'm still a man. I still have feelings. It was a poignant moment, one I'll never forget in my life. Because I thought at times, and how come, you know, she didn't do this? How come I always had to do that? You know, you get into that thing of righteousness. And I thought, you know, probably because I trained her to. It wasn't because she didn't love. It's just because she got used to me doing it. So while I say put everything in the relationship and do everything you can to support that person, you also have to give them room to support too. I remember an example from early in my life when I was brand new and I didn't really have any economic success yet. And I'd take someone to lunch or dinner, I'd watch what they ordered, and I'd make sure I didn't order too much so I could afford it, and I'd always pay for the lunch, always pay for the dinner, because I just always want to be the giver. But you know what's interesting? If you're always the one who has to be the giver, you give no room for someone else to give back, and then you feel sad or empty or alone or mad because someone else didn't give to you. It was my fault. And of course, you know, no relationship is black and white. There are many situations that shape something. But I remember one time in that same situation where I took a very wealthy man out to lunch, and I went to grab the check, and he smacked my hand really hard, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, I want to take you to lunch. He said, "Are you going to rob me of the pleasure of paying for this lunch? Are you that selfish?" And I thought, wow, he's so right, you know. I always want to give, give, give. Well, you got to give room to let someone else have the joy of giving too. Otherwise, you're going to blame them, and you've been a party to the challenge. And I'll tell you what I learned. You know, it's like I said before, success comes from good judgment. Listen, if you made a decision at 18, 20, 25, and the life that you're living now is so radically different, who you are has grown and changed, don't feel bad about making a decision. Find a way to make that decision better by staying in the relationship, or if it really doesn't work, have the guts to tell the truth and figure out what needs to be done. And learn from the past relationship. I mean, because of this and my relationship with my wife, Sage, we have the most incredible relationship because, you know what? She catches me and I catch her. I say, no, it's your turn to receive here. Sometimes we have to make a game of it because we're always trying to support the other person because our natures are so alike. Sometimes you can't make a decision because I want to know what she wants and I want to make that decision. She wants to know what I want so she can make that decision. So now we have this deal. You make this big decision, I get the next one. And we always say, whose turn is it? And of course, we usually, being the giving souls we are, try to do something that meets the other person's needs. But how cool to be in a relationship where that nature is there for someone, and where I'm now smart enough not to crush it. So to allow yourself to receive is critical for any relationship to work. If this is scary to you, I can only tell you, I have known so many thousands of people that this was the scariest, toughest part of their life, but it was the most rewarding. And I'm one of them. As painful as it was, as difficult as it was, the most important decision in my life, more important than any business decision, any economic decision, any decision in my work. I mean, this is it. You know, where you get to live is with a person you love and who loves you. And if you've got that, there is nothing on earth that can come close to it. But to get that, sometimes you're going to have to make some tough decisions. And if you don't, praise God, you got the right decision the first time. Hang on to it and treasure it as the most precious thing in your life. And if you're not in a relationship yet, praise God again. You got a chance to really set it up the first time with clarity, not just chemistry, but clarity. So you don't just obtain a relationship, not just have one you can make work, but you can have one that grows geometrically because the natures of the two people involved are aligned. Don't get stuck on the institution and forget about the people inside of it. The institution is marriage. The life you live with this person and the happiness you can generate with this person is what matters most. And how do you do it? God only knows. It's the hardest thing to do. But I'll tell you the one thing to consider is to first get really clear that this is best for you and best for the other person, even though they won't feel like it in the short term. Because if you're in a relationship where you're unfulfilled, I guarantee you're not fulfilling them. They may think so because they don't want to lose it. They don't want the insecurity, the instability, the unknown of not being in a relationship. But neither one of you are being fulfilled. And the way to do it is to be totally honest about your responsibility in it and that you aren't doing all that's there. And then also to say that the natures are different, that it's not that you're not enough, it's not that you're wrong, it's just we're different. And to have this conversation, ideally looking directly in the person's eyes, agreeing that for the next 10 or 15 minutes or hour that you will not break eye contact. Because there's a very powerful tool when you look in someone's eyes and you don't look away. The power of that is amazing because you're going to find yourself wanting to look away to think of something or access something, or they're going to say something, you're going to remember something else to give a retort or react. But if you'll just stay there and maybe hold their hands and look in their eyes and share, and if someone ever comes to you and wants to end a relationship, do the same thing. Be responsible, because trying to hang on to somebody who really isn't there with you is the worst feeling in the world. And even if you get them to say yes, it'll just happen again. You can't hold back what a person really needs. And so you got to take the lessons of this relationship and create the space for something new. And if you do, you got something magical.